Morning, church family. Good morning. Yes, you can say good morning back if you want to. That's okay. Good morning. Yeah, good to see you this morning. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Before the sun gets
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Children, you can join Miss Carlene up front for the children's message.
Friends, y'all can't sit on the floor. Am I on? Yes. Okay. All right. How's everybody today? Everybody good? Yes. I'm super excited to see everybody today. Are you excited to be here? Yes. So, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Are you happy and glad today? Yes. Well, as you can see, I have something a little bit different today, right? I have some special people with me, some special friends. Does anybody know these special friends? Who's down here? Miss Janice. Who's this? And who's this? Miss Jamie. That's right. Well, today we want to honor these three ladies. They're my very, very, very special friends. Do you have some really good friends? Yeah. And do you want to honor them? You have one good friend, but sometimes when we honor them, can anybody tell me what the word honor means? Lizzie. Celebrate them. That's right. Anybody else? H? Be kind to them. Anybody else? You don't know. Okay. All right. Ollie. Be nice to them. Will? Can't think right now. Maybe you can think in a minute, okay? So honoring means that we're going to have a special recognition and we're going to say thank you to them, okay? And we want to honor them and do something very special this morning, okay? So we have Miss Janice on the end, okay? Everybody, Miss Janice waves. Everybody got you, okay? So Miss Janice is the director of our Mother's Day Out program. Did y'all know that? Who's been to Mother's Day Out here at church? Yeah, all right. Well, Janice has been the director for over 30 years. Woo! And She is going to retire this year. But she's going to keep teaching next year for sure. And then we'll see what God's going to do after that. But we're excited about that. And then Miss Tandy right here. Wave your hand, Miss Tandy. All right. Miss Tandy has been one of our teachers for over 25 years, along with Janice, and they've been working really hard. Miss Tandy's going to retire too this year. So we're very sad that both of them are going to be retiring, but we're still going to keep seeing them, right? We'll still be seeing them, right? Okay. So these two friends, my special friends, have shared God's love with so many kids and families through the years. We figured it's about, 50 kids a year or more, 100 people a year, and they've been here 30 years. That's like 3,000 kids and families. That's a lot of people. They love you. They love you. And so we want to say thank you to Miss Janice and Miss Tandy. So, Callie, would you come present Miss Tandy her Bible? Okay. All right. Thank you. And you can sit right there. Okay. All right. And Ryland, would you present Miss Janice with her Bible? All right. So thank you, Miss Tandy and Miss Janice. Y'all are amazing and we love you. Can everybody give them a big round of applause? Yay. So now Miss Jamie right here. She's a special friend too, but we're excited to tell you she's going to be the new director for Mother's Day Out. Yay! We are excited that God will use her to continue leading Mother's Day Out and to teach our kids. So thank you, Miss Jamie, for taking on that and letting God use you. So, and it says in God's word, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And it's Psalms 118:1. So we are giving thanks this morning for these very special friends and all that they have done and will do to love and care for our kids. God has used them to touch the lives of so many kids. So can y'all say thank you real loud to these three ladies?
Thank you.
All right. So Pastor Jeff.
Yeah, in just a minute, we're going to have Fletcher is going to pray for these ladies, but I just want to say a couple of things. One of the things as a pastor, when I send your kids off somewhere or your youth off somewhere, I want to feel good that they are going to receive the love of Jesus, that they are going to be taken care of, that people are, and they're going to be safe, all of the above. And I'll tell you, these two ladies right here, I've had three of my grandkids come through their program, and they have loved well. They have loved well. And so I just want to thank them. And the other thing that's really cool is when one door kind of closes, God just has a way of opening another door, and he opened the door for Jamie to come and to be the director. And so I'm going to have that same confidence to send our children to Jamie and her care as well. So I just wanted to say that. Fletcher, where are you at, Fletcher? Fletcher, you want to come up here, buddy? Let's see if we can. Here, can you reach that, buddy?
Here, I'll get it down there.
Here, we got it, man.
Okay, all right.
Right there, buddy.
Okay. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church that we are able to meet here today. Thank you especially for Miss Tandy and Miss Janice. And please be with them as they move forward in life. Pray we bless these children here today and their families. Amen.
Amen. Good job, buddy.
Yay.
If the children want to head that way to Children's Church. Janice, stay right there for just a second. You and Tandy. If you are a kid or grandkid or anybody went through the Mother's Day Out program while they were here, stand up. I just want them to see. I know. Don't be shy. All right, a bunch. Janice thought I had gone through her Mother's Day Out program, but I didn't, Janice. I didn't. All right. A couple of things I wanted to mention this morning. On June the 6th, which I think is 3 weeks from today, right? Am I doing the math there? Our chief of police, our new chief of police, Marcus Dudley, and his family are going to be here. We hope that you will come and greet them and meet them. I've met him. He seems like a very nice man that loves the Lord and has a deep faith, and I'm excited about the opportunity for y'all to meet him and his family. And then on July the 16th and 17th, men, we are going to take a group to Promise Keepers, which is going to be at AT&T Stadium. The tickets are so much and the lodging and all that stuff, but we're going to ask the men, if you can, to cover $100 worth of your trip, and then there will be a couple of meals that you'll cover as well. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Promise Keepers later, but I'll just tell you, in the early 90s, the two things God used that had a tremendous impact in my life, one was the Walk to Emmaus, which you've heard me talk about, and the other was Promise Keepers. And it is an excellent ministry, and I think you would be blessed by that trip, and I think your family would be blessed for you to go. So that's July the 16th and the 17th. I invite you to stand if you're able as we say this creed, this Apostles' Creed that unites our hearts together and has been said by Christians for some 2,000 years. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, Sailor and Larry, Brenda, whoever of you three, y'all come up. You have something pretty cool and exciting you want to share with the church.
Who's the spokesman of the group?
Sailor. I guess so.
You just got elected.
Yes, I fold and told. Well, we're just so happy to be here today in the Lord's house. And we come before you and we're asking you for prayers for Clayton Harner, which is their son, and Gabrielle Harner, which is my daughter. And in September, they will have been married 13 years and have never done anything to not have babies but pursue babies. And it's been a long road. And they've gone through IUP and three IVPs, and this was the fourth one. And she is now about 18 weeks, and it is a boy. And she has four that she will meet in heaven. And I believe that everything is in God's timing. And this church has never stopped, never, never stopped praying for her. And she knows that. And so this is in itself a testimony that will go, it will just proliferate in so many ways. And we just thank you for those prayers. And right now we're just asking that Jeff would allow us to stand in for these three loved ones and just keep them in their prayers and his prayers, and that everything would go just perfect. So thank you. Amen. So much.
Yeah, I want to add something. You know, I don't remember how many years. Do you remember how many years ago it was that your house burned?
2007, September 12th.
Oh, is that? Well,
she remembered.
Did you have that written on the back of your hand or something?
2 weeks later, I was in this church and yeah. Haven't left since.
I remember that day. It was a Wednesday night. And Jared had her daughter in the youth group and said that their house was literally on fire right then. And Jared and I jumped in our truck and headed out and sat out in your front yard and watched your house burn down. And that's not a great memory, but what's happened, what the Lord has done since then, we were able to come alongside them and help them some. Financially, and that's like was dropping a rock in a pond. The ripples have come, and it brought, I'm not sure if it's a blessing or not, that brought Larry. I know it was a blessing that brought Brenda. Jury's still out on you, Larry.
Well, it will be for a while.
Oh, and Clayton and Gabrielle were here before they moved to Utah, and just the prayers for them. It's just, God, it's amazing how God is at work, and he's at work through you guys. You may not have known all of that story, but you were a part of it. So y'all come up here. I want to pray for y'all and pray, just pray thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord. Even when this world is hard, you are good. I thank you for this family. I thank you, Father. We rejoice in this new life that is been conceived, in this new life that is to come into the world. We pray blessings, and Father, that there would be a safety and a wellness in the womb right now with Gabrielle, God, and that she will give birth when it's time, and it would be this little guy will be perfectly healthy and will be a blessing. I pray, God, even for his future, that you would rise him up, God, and you would raise him up to be a mighty warrior for the King of Kings.
Amen.
Father, bless, may everywhere he goes, everywhere he sets his foot, may it be blessed. Thank you, God, for this family. Thank you for Jesus and how you knit our hearts together. Lord, we love you, we trust you, and we rejoice in you.
Amen.
We pray now together the prayer that your son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. God's good, church. Amen. the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Man, that's good stuff.
Church. Glory, glory.
Well, good morning again, church. Anybody feel the Holy Spirit this morning? God is active. Glad that you are here in this place with sharing his love with one another. If you are our guest, we are especially glad that you are here. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you're here in the church with the blue stripes as guest, we'd love to have you register with us. You don't have to do that, but we'd love to get to know you. I'll be out at the end of the foyer after the service and would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests. And you can also register members. You can also register on the online app. Does everybody have the app? We got a hoo-hoo. I like that. I like a hoo. All right. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1, Luke chapter 4. Now, set this up a little bit. Jesus has just been, in chapter 3, details him being baptized, coming to John the Baptist and being baptized, and the Spirit of God descended on him in the form of a dove, and God proclaimed, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." And we pick it up in Luke 4:1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. For 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him up to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that descended upon Jesus is what we're asking for. We ask you now, Spirit, to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week, this Sunday, we are beginning a new series, Navigating Hard Times. Anybody notice these are pretty tough times? Lots going on in our culture. So we're going to talk about different ways to navigate and get through times like this. Today's message is Imitate Jesus. I didn't pull a video to play for you, but it was interesting. I was looking for some videos where kids they tend to emulate their mommy or daddy or big brother or big sister. Yes, you ever seen that? I remember our little granddaughter, Sage. She, I guess she would pick up, she picked up and saw this from mom or dad or somebody, but she'd take it when she was little, I mean little bitty, she'd take a drink and she'd go, she'd pick that up from somebody, I don't know who, and I was watching some videos and where, you know, parents really do some silly things to try to get their kids to mimic that. You know, they're like doing all that kind of stuff and everything. And there was one, this dad, I remember this dad got in the floor and was doing push-ups. And I'm this little bitty baby. He couldn't have been just barely old enough to stand on all or to be on all fours. And this little baby was there beside him, and he was doing this. This baby was working it out, you know. We imitate those that we look up to, those that we are trying to be like. So what can we learn from Jesus and his time spent in the wilderness, those 40 days? What can we learn for ourselves today during hard times? First thing that comes to my mind as I study this scripture, Jesus was empowered by the Spirit. Hello. Jesus was empowered by the Spirit. So we know that in chapter 3 that I just alluded to a while ago, that the Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism. Now, mind you, Jesus knows what's coming. He knows what he's getting ready to face. And later in the Gospels, he begins to tell his disciples what's to come. He knows that things that he does, some will be popular and some won't be. And he knows that these next 3 years, we see in the Scripture that Jesus was around 30 years old when he was baptized and began his ministry. And for about the next 3 years, he was going to be encountering all sorts of things. But he begins that journey, he begins his ministry by being empowered by the Spirit. Verse chapter 3 that I just alluded to, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." And then as this passage we just read today, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Spirit, went to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. So we understand that Jesus is empowered by the Spirit as he heads out to the desert. All right, how much more if Jesus needs to be empowered by the Spirit to walk through what's to come in his life, how much more do you and I need that? What Scripture tells us, how do we get the Spirit? We ask. Ask. Ask God, send me your Holy Spirit. If you notice, every time I come up to preach, I ask the Holy Spirit to come. When I'm preparing the sermon, I ask the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to my heart for what he would have me communicate to you. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the desert for this testing, this 40 days of testing. Secondly, what can we learn from Jesus for hard times? Jesus pressed into the Father. Now this really, he pressed into the Father. This really struck me that verse 2, for 40 days, Jesus was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. At the end of them, he was hungry. So it's the fasting. What is the fast? Remember, I've talked about fasting, and I know some of you fast and some of you don't. I encourage you to give it a try, even if it's just one meal, if it's not going to harm your health, to give it a try. But fasting is not about not eating. Fasting is about pressing in to the Father. So for 40 days, while he was being tempted by the devil, during those 40 days, he was eating nothing. Do you think that he was just eating to see if he could overcome the devil's temptation? No, he was pressing into the Father. He's getting ready to start this ministry. He's been empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's preparing these 3 years that are to come that are going to be change mankind, change the world forever. And he's in preparation for those 3 years. He spends 40 days pressing in to the Father. The fasting is just a method that he's using to do that. But the devil sees even what Jesus was doing to press in. He sees an opportunity. Hey, he's hungry. He hasn't eaten for 40 days. He sees it as an opportunity. But that's not why Jesus was fasting. He was fasting to press into the Father. How about us, church? During difficult times, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but sometimes I just think the world's gone mad. I've shared that with you before, but I mean, I have still, just so y'all kind of bring you up to speed, since around October, I have not watched the news. I can't do it. I read some headlines just to kind of keep abreast of the kind of things that are kind of going on and stuff. But it's like, man, I'm literally afraid my head will literally explode if I watch the news. And I don't care what channel I put it on. Now, I'll watch local news, you know, for the weather and things like that. But I'm keeping apprised of what's going on, but I don't want that poison in my mind. I don't want it in my heart. So I've set it aside. Pressing into the Father to walk through, to navigate difficult times. We need the Spirit, and we need to seek the Lord, seek His wisdom, seek His peace in our life. That's what Jesus was doing for 40 days. The fasting was just how He was pressing in, one method of pressing into the Father. Thirdly, in the midst of it all, Jesus recognized the traps of the enemy. Now, I will tell you, we have a God and we have a Savior, but we also have an enemy. And man, if you don't recognize both of those things, you're in trouble. You must recognize we have one person, Jesus Christ, that wants to give us abundant life. He wants our heart because He loves us and He wants to bless us. And we have another one that wants our heart because He wants to poison it and destroy us. We must understand that or we are in trouble. So He tempted Jesus. If He will tempt Jesus, you think He's not coming after you? Are you stronger than Jesus? Can you withhold from the temptations better than Him? No. The enemy is coming at us. First, he tempted Jesus with physical desires. The devil said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." He saw that, as I said, Jesus is fasting to press into the Father. The devil saw that as an opportunity. Hey, he's hungry. And what? So our physical needs with us. I was reading something talking to somebody that had been in law enforcement for many, many years, and they said this. If I can remember this right, they said that if you look at any crime, anything, anywhere where people get in trouble and they with the law, it's either sex, power, or money are the root of those things. And we just read through the police log in the paper and see if those things don't fit. Physical desires. He knew Jesus was hungry. Well, it's not just hunger that the enemy attacks us. He knows that we need intimacy, and so, I mean, that can lead to pornography and all sorts of things in our life. He knows that we have physical needs and desires, and if those things are somehow not being met in our life, the devil sees that as an opportunity, and he comes. Jesus recognized that. Now, this is another thing that's important as we talk through the temptations of Christ. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. To struggle with something is not sin. It's when we succumb to that. Is Corey here? Where you at, Corey? You know I'm going to say your little quote. Corey Wood, I may not say it quite as well as you do, but Corey Wood told me this a while back that You know, you can't help if a bird flies through the barn, but you don't have to build him a nest. Is that fairly close? Don't you love that? I mean, for Jesus, the bird's flying through the barn. Aren't you hungry, Jesus? The enemy said. If you just, man, you got the power to just turn this stone into bread. Temptation is not sin, but the enemy looks for those opportunities. Jesus was tempted with physical need. Secondly, he was tempted with power and pride. The devil said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. Don't you see the arrogance of the enemy? It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. I've got news for the devil. I think he's figured it out. It's Jesus's anyway. He didn't have to bow a knee to the enemy. Power and pride. Man, I see all sorts of things where we can be vulnerable to power and pride. Sometimes, have you ever noticed, anybody who's married notices, you know a hard sentence to get out of our mouth sometimes? I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm not sure what I'm apologizing for, but I'm sorry, Cheryl, I was wrong. It's somewhere in there. I'm sure it hit something. Power and pride. Jesus was tempted with it. He recognized it as a trap from the enemy. And then lastly, I call this self-centeredness, where we place ourselves above God. If you are the Son of God, the devil said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Don't you love the way the enemy knows the Scripture? The enemy knows the Scripture. Did you know that? The problem is, he distorts it and perverts it. I see it happening in the church all the time. I see it coming out of pulpits all the time. The enemy says, it's written. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Did you know that Jesus didn't fall for it? None of the different ways that the devil tried to tempt him and try to seduce him into sin. Do you realize that if Jesus had succumbed to any of that, the cross would have been meaningless? We needed a pure Savior hanging on a cross for our sins. One without sin. And that's exactly what we got. And then fourthly, what else can we learn from Jesus during hard times? Jesus knew, number four, Jesus knew and applied God's holy word. I've said this so many times, this won't be the last time you'll hear it. I'll say it again. We must open up His Word and read it. People have died. I forget somebody that's smarter than me. I don't have my notes in front of me, but I forget who it was. Early on, when this book was being translated into languages for the common people, one of the men, his name is escaping me, one of the men, and this was the church, the church centuries ago did not want this in your hand. But why? Because then we could read it for ourselves. We didn't, the sin of power and control, they wanted to be able to say, let me just tell you what it says. And this individual that had been translating it, they took these Bibles that he had been writing out by hand, and there was just a few dozen of them, and they used it as kindling to burn him at the stake. That is the gift that we hold in our hands. We probably have dozens of these in our home, and a lot of them we could go, yes? Maybe just me. We must know what it says. Jesus had, he was 30 years old when he's beginning his ministry. Do you think he had maybe studied the Word? Because as he's being tempted from the enemy with all these temptations, he comes back on every one of them and he says, it's written. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about this. In his case, he's talking about the Old Testament, because the New Testament had yet to be written, because it was written about his life, death, and resurrection. But he's quoting Scripture to the enemy. The enemy perverted the Scripture and tried to use it as a trick against him. And each time, Jesus answered, it's written. Don't do that. Once again, I'm thinking, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit and he needed the Word of God, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? Steve, is this on? Anybody, are you hearing me? How much more do we need it? I love the last temptation. The devil says about the Word of God, he used the Word of God. He said, the devil says, it's written. And here's how Jesus responded. I can just see it, man. The devil goes, it's written, da-da-da-da-da. And Jesus says, it says, can you see it? It doesn't really type this out, but I think he's saying, no. It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Yeah, you can quote Scripture, but you don't know what it means. Churches, I don't know, maybe I'm the, I know Cheryl's struggling, maybe just Cheryl and I are the only ones struggling with our, what's going on in our culture. It just seems like every headline I read is like something else crazy is going on. And sometimes I have to read it twice and I go, nah, is this April 1st? What is it? What is this? No, that's not, that didn't happen. They didn't say that. They didn't do that. They didn't vote for that. No. Yes, they did. How do we navigate these difficult times that we find ourselves in? Well, I don't know about you, but I want to try to imitate Jesus. I want to be empowered by the Spirit. I want to press into the Father. I want to recognize the schemes of the enemy. And the only way we can do that is to know God's Word. We know the truth from a lie. That's it. I want to play. I've played this before, but I want to play this video clip for you again. This is a man. He has since gone. His faith has now become sight, as the song says. He is now with the Lord. E.V. Hill, he was a black pastor, and he was at one of the early, this might have been the first Promise Keepers. It was in the early 90s and in Boulder, Colorado, in the stadium, full stadium at Boulder, Colorado, and E.V. Hill gets wound up. Let's hear what he has to say.
Jesus said, devil, it is written. It is written. That's what he said. It's written. In other words, Jesus went to the book of Deuteronomy and came out with Scripture. And every time the devil opened his mouth, that Jesus threw Scripture in his mouth. He came back at him again and he said, devil, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He hit him over and over and over with the Scripture. And guess what happened? The devil ran. And guess what you can do beginning tonight? You don't have to take it. You don't have to take his mess. You don't have to take his stuff. Hit him. It is written. When the devil comes up and says, how do you know you've been saved? You are not saved. Yes, I am saved. Hit him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in mine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hit him, hit him, hit him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hit him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hit him. How are you going to make it? My God shall supply my every need. How are you going to go through? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. All you have to do is take out your Bible and say, where are you, devil? Come on, devil. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him. Let's get it on. He's defeated. Our Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hit that devil with the word. Hit him! Hit him! Hit him!
I read a little bit about E.V. Hill, some quotes from that. He said that he had another 10 minutes worth of speech to give, but when everybody was saying hit him, he said, okay, I think we're good. We're good here. I wish he'd just get a little more excited about it. You know, I mentioned this last week, but I just mentioned earlier that men, we're planning a trip to Promise Keepers in July, and July the 16th and 17th. And, you know, this is part of the craziness of our world. I've been to several Promise Keepers events, and I know many of you have, and I have never heard one talk that even could have even been construed as hateful or hate speech or anything like that. It's always been grace and love and being a better man, being a better husband and father and so on. And the headline that we had in our very own paper here about a week ago from a USA Today columnist, the headline read, "Extremists Using AT&T Stadium to Push Hate." That's what I'm talking about, navigating these waters, these times, when the love of Christ gets labeled as hate. The last two verses of our scripture today, I want to read these to you, and I want to make a couple of points. Luke 4:13-14. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him, speaking of Jesus, he left him for an opportune time. He left him for an opportune time. He wasn't through with Jesus. The devil wasn't through. And he was waiting for an opportune time to come back at him again. And how much more, if he will do that with the Savior of the world, will he do it with us? We have an enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we also have a Savior that wants to give us abundant life. And he is greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. And then So right after it said the devil was waiting for another opportune time, then the very next verse says Jesus returned to Galilee. He came to the desert empowered by the Spirit, and it says he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Man, church, that's it. We need Jesus. We need the Spirit of God. We need his holy word. We need to recognize we have an enemy. And he is greater. He, our Savior, will defeat the enemy that wants to destroy us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your inspired word. And I thank you for your great love for us. If there's anyone this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you like that, has not accepted you, not been filled with your Spirit, I pray that your Spirit would move on them right now. They would set everything aside and say yes to you. We love you and we trust you, Jesus. We trust you as we navigate these hard times. Help us to be more like you, to love more like you. Fill us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we close, I invite you to stand if you're able, and I will be out at the end of this end of the foyer. We'd love to meet our guests. If Jesus is stirring your heart this morning in any way, pray that you'll come. Don't hold it in. That's something that the enemy wants us to do. Share it with me. Share it with Billy. Share it with someone. What God is doing as we close. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Go and be like Jesus. Go and tell someone. Here it is. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.